Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Do you dream of a Viking god ready to ravage your thunder thighs? Well, dream no more. Thunder Thighs by Evie Mitchell is 99 cents and available in Kindle Unlimited. This delicious piece of over-the-top fluff is inspired by big thighs, sexy Vikings, and a desire to be plundered. Ella Bronze had always been told she had thunder thighs. Chunky, thick, beautiful, she embraced her curves, just waiting for the right thunder god to come along and rock her world. Then Gunnar Larson strode his tall, blonde Viking butt through her bar doors. Ella's thighs awaited his plunder. Walking into Ella's bar was the best decision Gunnar had made all year. Fuck, all decade. The gorgeous bombshell had curves for days, the kind that made him drool. There was no way this seductive siren was escaping. Looked like it was time to do what his ancestors did best. Take what he wanted. So get thee a Viking and settle in. Thunder Thighs is 99 cents and available now in Kindle Unlimited. Go get it, lady listeners. Hey, lady listeners.
Hey. Welcome.
There was lots of background noises we were waiting to clear out there.
I know. I was like, oh, space heater. It's gotten cold here. I have to have the space heater on. Yes, I didn't want to get in trouble.
Oh, my yeah. God.
It's like right up my ass, literally.
I'll never forget the picture you sent me of your space heater in your house and your son with his ass up against it. That's still, like, my favorite picture of him ever. It was so cute. He's, like, laying on the floor, like, with his butt, his bare ass up against it.
That's about right.
It's so funny. That's him.
He did, yeah, he was sick all last week, right? Mm-hmm. And I went to go run an errand, and I come back, and he's not in the house. And I call my mom's house. I'm like, you get your butt home. You're sick. He runs home. He's got a cold. He walks in the door. He's in flip-flops. Booty shorts and just a giant coat. There's no shirt on under it. Nothing. He's like, why do I have to come back?
Oh my God.
The kid hates clothes.
Kids have no idea, okay? They don't know. And I get so frustrated, but they really just do not know what they're doing.
Welcome to Read Me Romance.
Oh, look at Mel said it this time. Yeah, welcome to Read Me Romance. It's Elle Christensen week. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
I love
Elle. Can we talk about really quick the text I sent you guys this morning?
Oh, yeah. Quickly.
What did you say? I was running around.
Quickly, you want to discuss the Alessandra Torre and her husband at Fantasy Fest?
Yes. I sent a picture.
If you're not following Alessandra Torre on Instagram, just stop right now. Stop this podcast and go follow her because her husband is, you know, he's a big slice
and
of
And she's like, she's just so
he's
sexy.
He's thick. All you girls are always asking, what is thick?
He's thick. He is thick. He's muscular. But he's beefy and he's sweet and he has this kind of baby face too a little bit, but just like he's a daddy, you know, like, and she's just tall and slim next to him, like cute and adorable. And she's got pasties, so she's topless, but with something covering her nipples. And she's in like this tiny little tutu that, you know, he's in. But they're so sexy, the both of them. But I love how just free she is with her body. I mean, maybe if I had a body like that, I wouldn't care either. But she's so open and just beautiful and like, hey, this is great. Let's have fun. You know, no inhibitions. But, you know, it's also Key West Fantasy Fest, which is like, you know, the greatest thing ever. If you've never been, you should definitely
Well, she go. Posted a picture like a couple of years ago of herself in like full body paint. And that was all she was wearing was the body paint. And that actually inspired a whole scene in Runaway Girl where my heroine she's in Florida and she goes to, I think it's Key West and she, or no, it's
yeah,
Daytona
Key
Beach.
West, it's
and she, oh, okay. It just didn't work geographically in the book, Key West, but, and she gets the full body paint and does the whole parade and everything as a way of like breaking free of her shell.
Awesome.
Yeah. So this morning though, she posts this picture of her leg wrapped around her husband and she's wearing like absolutely nothing. And I was like, is it okay to masturbate to this picture? And I feel like Alessandra would be okay with that.
She would 100% support that. She'd be like, get your
Yeah,
girl.
She would be fine about it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have so much to talk about. First of all, our favorite podcast came back this week. Me and Leah's favorite podcast.
Oh, God. God, it's so good.
Yeah, where should we begin by Esther Perel?
Tessa texts me, red alert, it's new episode dropped. Because there was no warning. You know, normally on if you get a new season of a podcast, a regular one, not us, because we just keep going. But normally you have a break in seasons. You take like a normal podcast will take like several months off. And when the new season comes up, they'll give you a little snippet like, hey, next week starting is season 3 or whatever. Esther didn't do any of that shit because she don't fuck around. She was just like, boom, new episode.
Season 3. Yeah. She dropped the first episode of season 3. And if you don't know, like if you haven't heard us talk about it before, it's basically she's a world-renowned couples therapist and she does anonymous counseling sessions and records them for the podcast. And every single one of them is life-changing.
And well, they all apply to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, you think that this episode's not going to apply to you because you go in and you're like, oh, this isn't really anything to do with my life. It could be a lesbian or a gay couple. And you're like, that doesn't apply to me. Every single episode, I take something away. And this one, especially, I took a ton away. It was so good.
It was a young couple. The episode is called Young Love. And they basically are two Mexican-American young Mexican-American people that met in Iowa at college, but she's not a citizen. He's Mexican-American. She's, yeah. I guess she's still a Mexican citizen. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I mean, she sounds like she was raised here.
She lives in Mexico, but I think she did most of her school here, but she had to go back and forth. And so now that she's finished with college, really the only thing that they can do in order to stay together is get married. And so that's what they're talking about is like the pressure of, you know, what kind of wife she's going to be, what kind of husband he's going to be. And, you know, the sort of like his backstory is that I didn't know that you could gift someone your citizenship. I had no idea you could do that. So apparently he was born in Texas, but his parents are from Mexico. And when he turned 21, he gifted his citizenship to his mother. And I didn't realize you could do that, but it said so in the podcast they were talking about. And he said he gave that to her in order for her to not be beholden to his father so much. And so his sort of hang up, for lack of a better word, was that he was afraid, you know, that he was always going to be the one to have to take care of his girlfriend. Like, he said, because I've had to take care of my mother, I've had to do all these sacrifices, you know, the person I fell in love with, you know, he fell in love with her because she was so strong and independent.
So really quickly, I just want to tell you, I don't think he gifted her his citizenship. What he meant was that, like, when he turned 18 and became an adult, I believe that makes her automatically a citizen.
No, it was it 21, though?
18 or 21, but I don't think you can gift it.
He gifted it to her.
He like gave it to her because he was an adult and like she was his parent. Like
maybe I misheard that. I swear it was like,
okay.
I thought he said he gave it to her. I don't know.
Either way, he's the reason his mother got citizenship. He got American citizenship. So he has this girlfriend who is basically now in a situation where she has to become an American citizen to be with him, to stay together. Mm-hmm. And they love each other. But the reason I listen to the podcast, and it's not just, it's like for the emotional part of it and like what you learn from it, but also just a study in the human nature of each individual behavior. That is on that show. Like, he was a string ready to snap. Like, that's all I got from him. Like, he was just running on like adrenaline and he needed to calm down and he was just like ready to pop. And then,
oh, as soon as he came in, he just started.
He was crying like, from the second.
He opened up. He just started crying because you could tell, like he had been through so much emotionally, and no one had ever asked him, "Well, what do you want?" You know, and it was like the second he had to stop and think about it, he just.
But it was just great. The language that she taught them to speak in was so great. It was like when I do X, like, or when you do X, I feel Y. And it was just like so simple, you know? And
yeah. Because she said that she was like, she was like, say this sentence and then XYZ, insert your emotion. And she was like, use that equation. And the way she did it, it was just like, oh shit. Like, that was really powerful.
Yeah.
And then just on when it was like at one point the guy is talking to Esther, the therapist, and he was like, well, she made me feel, she said, no, don't say that to me. She's right there. Say it to her. And he was like, oh,
it's so different when they're saying it to the therapist as opposed to like turning and saying it to the person that you're talking about. It just changes their tone. It changes how they say it. And it's crazy because like you realize it's all about communication and how you communicate to your partner. Like it's so vital.
So good.
Oh God. It's such a good podcast.
And it was a great episode too because, you know, he talked about, you know, the reason he fell in love with her, but it was because she was strong and independent. He was like, but I feel like when you come to visit me, you know, when you're here, you're not strong, independent wife, you know, or girlfriend or whatever. He was like, you just kind of hang out and, you know, you expect me to do certain things. And, you know, like he said, where is that spark? Where is that emotion and that fire? And she was living in limbo. You know, she was like, well, I'm half in Mexico. I'm half in New York. You know, we're not married. We might get married. Like it just, she's like, I just don't know like what to do going forward. So it was just, it was very relatable in a situation of wanting to be cared for and wanting to be loved, but also wanting to be a badass, like boss bitch.
And I love the part where Esther is like, do you have friends? And, you know, and how both of them were like, no, I don't. They're so worried about how it's going to make the other person feel if they have fun with someone else that they just have foregone like outside friendships completely. And she's like, how can you come home and be a good person to them if you're not like, you have no balance with somebody else with other people.
Yeah, you have no point of reference
on like who you are and what you want. And
she was like, you're not an island. You know, she was like, you can't be an island as a couple. She said, you've got to have those emotional connections with other people to help you grow and thrive. And I was just like, wow, that's a really valid point.
All right, we've talked about this enough, but you guys go listen to Where Should We Begin by Esther Perel. I'm telling you, it's scary because a lot of the episodes do deal with cheating. If I could recommend one to start with, and I think Leah can agree, it's I Can't Give You a Child, from season one or two. But there's no cheating. Yeah. It's just one of the best episodes. Anyways.
It's really good. But we're going to start our own podcast about
We're going to start a side podcast called Where Should We Begin Recapping. We've talked about this.
We're just going to recap each episode because it's so wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. You guys, let's talk about Ella Christensen, our guest on the podcast this week. We're going to play Ride a Rancher in a little while. And it's a cowboy book. We're really excited. So
I wish they could see your face when they said that. It's a cowboy book.
She has a few other books in the series with it. And you'll meet those characters too when you read this one. And you'll want to go back and read them.
Yes.
She does a very good job of enticing you into the other couples. Of course, the couples are already together because the books are out. But they are adorable and funny. So I have a feeling everybody's going to be going back.
Here is Elle Christensen's bio. I'm a lover of all things books, a hopeless romantic, and have always had a passion for writing. Between being a sappy romantic, my love of an HEA, my crazy imagination, and okay, let's be real, my dirty mind, I fell easily into writing romance. I'm a huge baseball fan and yet a complete girly girl. I'm an obsessive reader and have a slight addiction to signed books. I'm married to my very own book boyfriend, an alpha male with a sexy sweet side. He's the best inspiration, my biggest supporter, and the love of my life. He's so incredibly patient and understanding about the fact that he has to fight the voices in my head for my attention. I hope you enjoy reading my books as much as I enjoyed writing them. And we know, I know Elle mostly from, she's the organizer of the COPA signings in New York City. Mm-hmm. How do you guys know her?
I know her through Rochelle Page. That's how I met her.
Mm-hmm. I sort of know her through that, like, kind of through Mel knowing her, like, kind of adjacently talked to her. But I met her for the first time at COPA this year when the three of us went to it. She was just so sweet and happy and bubbly. And I just did not expect that from a hard in New Yorker, you know?
She really has a lot of energy. She's very positive. Yeah. She has a lot of energy. She's very sweet and personable.
She's so nice.
It comes across in her book.
She's willing to do anything. She's like, yeah, what do you need? What do you got? What do you want? Like, she's just always there ready to be in the clutch. Like, that was
to help. And she's also a yes person.
Yes, she's 100% yes person, which, you know, is good in you know, the book world for marketing and sharing stuff and writing and helping each other out. But no, she was so sweet. And she's like, I don't know if she is just like blinded or when she's overwhelmed, because she's like, it'll be fine. And like, we're standing there with like,
we're like panicking. We're like, no, it's not.
And boxes of huge swag everywhere and all this shit to do. And she's like, that'll be okay. I'm going to order some food. And we're like, what? So yeah, she was really cool though to meet in person. I'm so glad we got to. And, you know, I sent her a bunch of signed books she's taken to London with her, I believe. They had the rare signing there. She's going to have a bunch of Muse that she has signed books with her. I sent like a huge box and sent it to her, and I was like, bon voyage.
Yeah, so this book that we're going to play is Ride a Rancher, but the first book in the series, so it's the Ranchers Only series that this takes place in, and I'm going to read you the blurb from For Ranchers Only, which is the first book in the Connected series. So here it is. A Ranchers Only dating site? Go ahead, read it again. I'll wait. No, this is not a joke. Just ask Ophelia Cooper. When her best friend sets her up with an account, Leah scoffs at the idea. But unwanted dirty dreams about the obnoxious and really freaking hot cowboy next door convince her to give it a try. Maybe she'll find love and forget about the man she's always wanted. Or you could talk to James Locke. His little sister insists that he needs a date or he'll wind up a lonely, grumpy old man. She takes matters into her own hands and sets him up on the site. When a misunderstanding causes James to ruin any chances with the one he really wants, Ophelia, he decides to give it a try, hoping he still has a chance at love. Now I know what you're thinking. People who use an online dating site are desperate. You may be right. That doesn't mean it doesn't work. Hopefully James and Leah will have the last laugh as they ride off into the sunset, happy and in love. And I'm sure they do. Because that's the kind of book we read.
I think both of these books in the series are in Kindle Unlimited and 99 cents right now, if you want to pick those up. Nice. They're both adorable and sweet, and I've really enjoyed the series, and I enjoyed this one too a lot. There
you go. You got the Mel seal of approval. So, Leah, are you finished with The Secret by Julie Garwood?
Let me see. Okay, so I wanted to go into this. All right, we're like 16 minutes in. So if you don't want spoilers, I want you to fast forward to like, give me 5 minutes, okay? Go. So there's this part in The Secret, and I was listening to it, and you know, it's this whole story that builds up, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, but she is kept from her father. She thinks he died for a long time, and then she realizes later when she's an adult, he's still alive. He's sort of in another clan in Scotland that, you know, doesn't have anything to do with the one that she's with right now, and, you know, that's another part of it. But when she sees her father for the first time, she realizes, like, he's a bad guy. He's mean, and he's cold, and he's distant. And then he finds out that she's his daughter. And there's a part when they're in like this great hall and the dad's sitting there and he tells her that her mom was a bitch. And her mom was in England. And he was like, she was a hateful woman and she left here. He didn't know she was pregnant. He was like, she left and left me. And he said, I would not go back to England. He made a vow that he would never return to England. And he said, I would have never gone back to England, not for her, not for my country, not for anyone. He was like, I would never have broken my vows. And the girl just starts crying, the heroine, and she turns around and she runs out. And he stands up and he screams at her and he said, I would have gone back for you. I would have gone back for my daughter. And she's just crying and she runs out. And like, it hit me so fucking hard. And I just started sobbing like while I'm in my bathroom, like painting. I rushed down. I was just like, like, I just had this horrible, ugly cry. Because it was just, it was such a beautiful scene because, you know, there are so many dynamic relationships in this. It's not just a love story. The friendship is so beautiful between the two women. And, you know, the heroine, like how much compassion she has. And the way she falls in love with the hero and how like just direct and he is with her and just does not give a fuck. And just says exactly what he thinks. And he tells her, he's like, I don't say anything I don't mean. And he's like, I want you and you're mine and that kind of stuff. And she's like, well, I don't know. Do you really mean that? He's like, I would never say anything I didn't mean. Okay. You're mine. Let's go. So it's just, I love how they are together and the way they fall in love is just so beautiful. I mean, it's, I enjoyed it so much more than I thought I was going to. So I'm anxious to read the rest of the story.
So you guys, The Secret by Julie Garwood. Go get it. It's just, and
I didn't even look to see when this came out. Apparently,
oh, it's like 30 years.
I'm decades behind. Like, this book is probably like 30 yeah. years old. I'm so
but that's all her, all of her heroes and heroines are just like that. The heroes don't play games. They say exactly what they mean. They are solid, rock solid from start to finish. They do not waver in their devotion to the heroine ever. The heroines are always kind of like a little bit clumsy and a little bit like feather brained, but they always like save
and not
the day.
Always like gorgeous. They're not always gorgeous either.
Yeah.
Like they're not like beautiful. The breathtaking beauty all the time. Yeah.
But they like, they have this like amazing spirit and they will always do what's right. Even if it means like a sacrifice or, you know, putting themselves in danger, which is kind of my catnip, like heroine putting herself in danger and the hero having to come save her. I'm like, whatever, too stupid to live. That is an obnoxious term.
I like the too stupid to live.
But that's what I'm like, I think it's great. I don't know. Once in a while, we do things that aren't always, you know, we're not all perfect. We make mistakes or we make decisions based on like emotion. And sometimes I think that that's just a beautiful thing to read.
Well, it was amazing. And I'm so glad I read it. And no more spoilers. So if you're just jumping back in, thanks.
Mel, have you read anything this week?
I read Elspeth, but now that you asked about cowboy books, I like reloaded old books to read.
What cowboy books did you reload?
I reloaded a bunch. I was like, oh my god, she asked for cowboy books. I have so many. But then I thought, I'm going to find one that I don't think anybody's ever read before. Has anybody ever heard of Emma Wilder's? I know Emma Wilds. She's old school. She does historical.
No, I don't know her. Oh, wait, I know her name, okay. But I don't think I can recall any of her books.
I don't know if she writes much anymore, but I had to dig on my Kindle to find it. But she has two books that are on the shorter side that are Alexa Riley size books. One's called Lawless and one's called Riding Rest. These are two of my favorite cowboy books. They are historical that I've ever read. Lawless, the first one, is the girl gets kidnapped off of a train, and the guy that's with the bandits doing it, he's just running with the bandits to steal money, but he gives up his money for her to keep her. So he's like, I'll give up my portion to have her. And he's like this badass outlaw that everybody knows his name, who he is. And they start to fall in love when he's going to take her back to her family. And then the second one, which I know everybody would love, is the Riding West. And this is about the girl who she's like sassy, smart mouth, and he lives next door. And he's been waiting for her to grow up, to turn 18 and to be ready. Well, she turns 18 and she is just like playing these games. And he's Mr. Straight-Laced by the book, runs his family's ranch, and he just gets tired of it. So he goes over to her house where her family lives because her family's gone for the day. And he just picks her up and throws her over his shoulder and takes off. He's like, I'm done with your games. I'm done with the silliness. You're mine and we're leaving. And he throws her over and they go take off to like his hunting cabin for the weekend. And he spends the weekend making her fall in love with
him. Oh my God, that sounds good.
They are both really good. I've probably read them both like 7-8 times.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know. And now I pulled them back up. I was like, okay. And then I wanted to give one more since it's the season. There's a book called The Christmas Cowboy Hero by Donna Grant, which is one of my favorite Christmas books. It's on the longer side. It has an audiobook, but it's got a lot of great Christmas mixed in with this hero helping this woman with her younger brothers. And it's just a really, there's not a ton of sex till the end, but it is very heartfelt.
Okay.
But not like, I'm going to cry, but heartfelt, like, he is such a good man, kind of heartfelt. Okay. Does that make sense?
I know Donna Grant. She's a sweetheart.
So, okay. Well, I love her book.
She writes, like, does she write, like, paranormal? She writes paranormal, too, right? And a lot of cowboy stuff as well. She's kind of got a broad range. Yeah,
these are cowboys that I've
read. Military things as well. Donna Grant, she's a good writer.
I wonder if all of our heroes are like this. I really like heroes that are good from the start. Mm-hmm. They're just good guys because they're good guys.
I know what you mean. So you don't like a bad boy from the beginning kind of thing?
No, not generally.
They have to be redeemed. That's what
I mean, they could be cold and dismissive, but I want them to generally do the right thing.
Yeah, there's certain lines they can't cross. Yeah.
Yeah.
My recommendation is like, since you covered the KU side of things, I'm recommending Montana Sky by Nora Roberts. I don't know if you guys have read Nora Roberts, but she's written 4 million books.
I've never read a Nora Roberts book.
I have read her. Yeah.
She's one of my favorites. She's kind of like the best-selling romance author of all time, probably.
I'd say between her and Danielle.
Definitely. So yeah. Montana Sky, it's like three sisters that are estranged from each other. Like one's an entertainment, one's a businesswoman, and one's a rancher, and they don't talk to each other. But their father passes away, and the terms of his will state that they won't see a dime until they live together on this ranch for a year together. So if you, like, the Nora Roberts writes the most incredible trilogies. And by the time you finish the trilogy, you feel like you have lived a lifetime. They are incredible. Yeah. So you get a story for each sister, and they start with Montana Sky. There's love, there's amazing romance. But there's always a really good growth and love between sisters or friends or female friendships. So like, it's just like really, like you just get everything out of them. And so that's my recommendation. Montana Sky by Nora Roberts. And For the Roses by Julie Garwood. That's a cowboy book. That's a good one. Yeah.
I'm going down the secret path with Julie Garwood right now. Okay.
Yeah. You have the connected book to The Secret too. What's it called? What's the connected book to The Secret?
I don't know what the next one. I don't know what the next one is. I just finished it. And then people told me that the guy that's in there, the other guy that kind of wanted her in the book, that, you know, for a hot second, he was like, if you don't claim her, I will. And he was like, I'm going to. And so like that other guy at Broderick, I think he gets.
Yep, he does. I think it might be The Wedding. That's the connected book, but The Wedding is one of my favorites. So.
Well, I can't wait to see that. So I had a couple other things to talk about. I don't know if you want to do it now or we can save it for
One more thing. Let's talk about one more thing.
Well, you had mentioned last week that we didn't get to discuss Succession. So you wanted to talk about it, the show that you're watching?
Wait, what is it? Succession. Okay, well, I'm not even going to recommend Succession because I started watching another show that is so much better. And I think that lady listeners will absolutely adore. It's so us that I can't even tell you. Okay. Fleabag? Oh my God. Your life's going to change.
I don't know this.
Okay. First of all, okay, it's written and it's written, produced, and it's starring a British actress named Phoebe... Shit. Okay, hold on a second. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And she is the most talented person on the planet. I honestly wasn't aware of her until 3 weeks ago when she won Best Actress in a Comedy Series for this show. It's on Amazon Prime Video, and I didn't know I had that. I knew I had Amazon Prime, but every time someone's like, oh yeah, it's on Amazon, I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I like pass. If it's on Netflix, I can't watch it.
Oh, I do know this show. I just looked it up. Okay. It does look familiar.
I binged the first season in a night, and now I'm halfway through the second season already. It's about a woman who, she lives in London. She owns a cafe. I just pronounced that like a British person. She owns a cafe. And she has this nightmare family, but she's going through some emotional upheaval. She's trying to fill a void with sex. And it's very funny. She talks to the camera and she's very, very funny and witty. Like, mm-hmm. And she talks it's and relatable. She just, like the first episode, the very first scene of the first episode is her boyfriend breaking up with her for masturbating too much. And she's masturbating she's masturbating to Obama giving a speech. And what? Yes, and it is so liberating because she talks so freely about what kind of sex she likes, the dirty shit she thinks about and that she's into. Like, she like lets this hot man like go up, fuck her up the ass just because, just because she's insecure and because she wants him to like her. And it's so nice. Like, there's just nothing held back on the show. And her boyfriend, like, reads off the list of Google searches that she's done. And it's like all the porn you've ever Googled, just back to back to back. It's like gang bang, da da da, like, you know. And, yeah. And it's so liberating for that to be on television and for that to be mainstream. You know, yeah. Like a woman who likes filthy porn. And there's sad elements to it. There's a lot of funny elements to it. It's half an hour episodes. It's on Amazon Prime Video. And I highly, highly, highly recommend you go watch Fleabag, because it is the best show I've seen in a really long time. So, okay.
That said, you made me think of a public service announcement I wanted to make. I don't know if you see me drop my head when you were talking.
Oh, what is that?
My public service announcement is, if you have a younger child and his iPad is connected to your iPhone, like you share an account, apparently your Google searches automatically go to their iPad.
But not if you're doing a private browse, right?
I guess. I never private browse anything because I don't care.
Well, you do now.
I do now.
Oh, no.
But usually I just go back and I hit, whenever I look at porn, I do the delete the last hour. But sometimes I know I forgot. Like, I'll go to Google something. I was like, oh, I forgot to delete that. But he was showing something on his iPad. And he's like, I had to Google it, Mom. And he's like Googling it. And off to the side, I can see it like trails down the history. And I'm like, that's my history. Uh-oh. But it wasn't porn that day.
Yeah.
But just so everybody knows, in case you weren't aware, because I just became aware that if I Google something on my phone, it shows up on the iPad of his.
I'm going to have to go check that right now.
Yeah, we share an account. We both have the same Apple ID name.
I'm going to just delete this.
I have to tell you guys one more thing about Fleabag really fast before we... In the second season, she falls in love with an Irish priest. So just go watch it.
This is literally your
my crusade. Succession. You have been succeeded by Fleabag.
Sorry,
Chernobyl. Okay. All right. So we're going to play Ride a Rancher by Elle Christensen. And when we come back, we have all kinds of new releases to tell you about and what Elle Christensen is giving away. So stay tuned. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Ride a Rancher by Elle Christensen. Read for you by Kit Swan and Matthew Maddox. Chapter 1. Helena. I think Garrison might appreciate this getup better on your wedding night. I chuckled as the guests at the bridal shower wrapped the bride, my friend Rose, in toilet paper. Easy access. I drawled with a wink, making Rose giggle and blush. The silly image of her dress and wrapping paper bouquet had my mind wandering to our bridesmaid dress fitting we'd done that morning. I'd been tempted to take a few minutes and try on a few wedding gowns myself, but thought better of it. Instinctively, I rubbed my thumb underneath the third finger on my left hand, like I'd done so many times before. Even though it had been a month, it still felt weird when I didn't touch the cool metal of my engagement ring. Trying on wedding dresses was pointless when there wasn't going to be a wedding, and I wasn't sure why it bothered me so much. Marriage and kids had never been in my plans, especially after growing up with parents who weren't happy with each other and didn't hide the fact they regretted their oops moment that resulted in me. At least when I was an adult, they were more tolerant of me. And even a little proud when I landed a job at the most prestigious law firm in Austin. However, I was even more certain of my decision when I started my job. The relationships I saw around me were more for show than for emotional attachment. Spouses and kids were trotted out like show horses and used as tools to get my colleagues into doors that were harder for single people to get through. It was all about image and keeping up with the Joneses. Maybe it was spending so much time with my best friend Leah, her adoring husband James, and their ridiculously cute kids. Then watching Rose, Leah's sister-in-law, also find a man who worshipped her and managed to knock her up without even trying. Everyone was sickeningly happy, and while I was ecstatic for them, I'd noticed an emptiness in myself that hadn't been there before. Leah had once teased me about being next, and I'd scoffed, laughing it off and telling her she would have enough kids for the both of us. She'd been cooking number four at the time, so it definitely wasn't an exaggeration. Shortly after that, I started helping out with the planning of Rose and Garrison's wedding, and Leah gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. Romance and family surrounded me. Everyone treated me like another family member, and it made me wonder whether I'd been too hasty in ruling out a husband and kids. I'd been dating another lawyer at my firm, and when I think back, this was my rationale for what I did next. In an odd twist of timing, Howard had proposed, and I'd said yes. At the back of my mind, I knew this was another shallow, trophy relationship, and the fact that he was okay with waiting until the wedding to have sex, skipping right over the fact that I was using this as an excuse because I couldn't see myself sleeping with him at all, should have driven that point home a lot sooner. We were engaged for 2 months when I came to my senses and admitted to myself I'd made a colossal mistake. Howard wasn't happy with my choice, but like always, he was calm and sensible about it. Again, another not-so-subtle hint I'd ignored. The man had no passion for anything but the law. Even so, I'd enjoyed the bubble I'd lived in while it lasted, and I'd gotten used to the ring on my finger. The absence of it now was a reminder that I should never have strayed from my original plan. I would be the cool aunt who lived in the city and spoiled Leah's and Rose's kids rotten. Okay, ladies, time for me to collect my bride. Rose's fiancé, Garrison, strode into Leah's living room and made a beeline for his girl. When he reached her, he gathered her up in his arms, bent her over backward, and kissed her like they were straight out of a movie. We all whistled and catcalled teasingly, and when he finally let her up, Rose was the shade of her namesake. The two of them looked so happy, it melted my heart. However, it also caused a pang in my chest. The envy crept up on me, and I was honestly confused by it. This was what I wanted for my friends, not for me. So why was I suddenly feeling suffocated by all the bliss surrounding me? You know, I teased, trying to forget my melancholy, I'd like to think I can take some credit for your and Leah's happily ever afters. Leah raised a brow and smirked at me. How do you figure? I grinned and winked at her. It was my advice to ride a rancher. I believe you asked me if I'd banged a hot rancher, Leah quipped, before she and Rose doubled over with laughter. Garrison frowned at me and I smirked. Relax, cowboy. My advice to Rose was too specific to you. The laughter felt good, but it didn't ease the tightness in my chest. It must have something to do with the big changes I'd made recently. After I broke it off with Howard, I'd been extra restless and unsatisfied with the road I was traveling. Leah had been pestering me for years, suggesting I take a sabbatical and come out to stay with her and her family at Lock Creek Ranch until I figured out what I wanted to do with my life. Finally, I'd not only agreed to take her up on the offer, I'd leaped into the unknown with both feet. I decided to stop trying to please my parents, stop chasing a ridiculous dream where a man like my friend's husband's swept me off my feet, and quit a job that made me miserable. So here I was, staying in a small house of the back of my friend's ranch that belonged to the previous manager, who happened to be marrying James's sister in a month. They lived next door at Red Hill Ranch, which had been Leah's property until she married James, and it became a part of Lock Creek. Maddie, the newly promoted manager, decided to stay in her apartment above the stables where the manager's office was located, which left Garrison's house empty. Leah wasn't happy with my choice to stay there, but I wasn't going to intrude indefinitely. James made it clear I was welcome, but I knew they needed time as a family without my constant presence. Besides, having some alone time was necessary for my own sanity anyway. The sound of a whimpering baby drew my attention away from the happy couple and my own musings. James walked in with Emma, their 4-week-old baby. "Sorry to interrupt, but Emma's hungry." Rose laughed and shook her head. "No worries, big bro. We understand. You lack the right equipment to satisfy her." James smirked before winking at Leah. "Emma's not the only one her equipment satisfies." Leah gasped and covered her face, while Rose wrinkled her nose and exclaimed, "Ew!" James grinned at her until she turned to Garrison and asked slyly, "How about me, babe? Do I satisfy you?" When the smile slid right off James's face and he turned a little green, I burst into laughter. "Unless you want to mumble your vows through a broken jaw, I highly suggest you don't answer that question," he warned. Garrison raised both hands and shook his head. "No way am I getting involved in this." Rose huffed and put her hands on her hips.
"And now you know how it feels," she snipped at her brother.
Emma chose that moment to let out a demanding wail, and Leah hurried over to take her from her husband. James put an arm around them both and gazed at them lovingly as he guided them out of the room. Rose thanked everyone and saw them out before Garrison impatiently swept her up into his arms and stalked to his truck. I didn't bother to wave before I quickly shut the door, blocking the view of the two of them making out against the side of the vehicle. I did open it up a crack to call, "Broken jaw, Garrison!" Rose's laughter drifted over as I shut the door once again. Less than a minute later, I heard the engine roar to life and chuckled as I walked away. I headed toward the kitchen through the large community dining room and stopped suddenly as I took in the scene before me. Leah was sitting at the table burping Emma, while their 5-year-old daughter, Felicity, cooed at her little sister. James was sitting next to them, but facing away since he had their boys, James and Nicholas, on his lap. Suddenly, they all burst into laughter at something one of the boys said. It was a perfect family moment. Stealthily, I quickly made my way into the kitchen without interrupting. The Lock Creek cook, Cookie, was taking some bread out of the oven, and it smelled heavenly. I was a complete disaster in the kitchen, so most nights I ate dinner with the family and ranch hands. The one time I'd tried to help, Cookie banned me from stepping behind the large island that split the room. My mouth watered, and I was about to attempt to sweet-talk a slice of bread out of her when the screen door to the back porch swung open. An attractive older man stepped inside, his intense blue eyes glued on Cookie. From the creases in his face and the silver peppering his dark hair, I guessed he was probably in his early 50s, likely only a handful or so years older than her. He was dressed in a flannel shirt, wore jeans, boots, and a cowboy hat, which he immediately removed and tossed on the island. Then he stalked over to Cookie, spun her around, and kissed the hell out of her. Suddenly, I needed to get some space and air. Luckily, I lived on a fucking ranch. I slipped outside unnoticed and started for the barn, but stopped after a few steps. Leah and Rose were teaching me to ride, but I wasn't sure I was comfortable venturing out on my own yet. I pivoted and swept my eyes over the area until they landed on the ancient truck that had been James's before he passed it to Rose when she was in high school, and now was rarely used. Leah had told me to use it anytime I wanted, mostly because my car, a red M-Series BMW, didn't have the easiest time navigating the dirt and gravel roads around the ranch. I knew the truck was unlocked and the keys were in the sun visor, so I trotted over to it. After opening the door and hopping up into the driver's seat, I pulled down the visor and the keys dropped into my waiting hand. Once I inserted the key in the ignition,
I turned it, only to have nothing happen. Shit. The battery must be dead. Frustrated, I flopped back into the seat, and that's when my eyes fell to the floor. Three pedals. Double shit. The good news was that it was possible the battery wasn't dead. The bad news was that the truck was manual, and while I knew how to drive a stick, I hadn't done it since high school. My brow furrowed as I searched my memory and finally remembered how to start the beat-up old truck. I smiled in triumph when the engine roared to life, then went back to concentrating on the pedals and stick shift as I slowly got it moving. The clutch was really loose, but I only stalled once before I finally got rolling. I headed toward the dirt path leading out to the large expanse of unused land on the property. It wasn't far from my little cottage, and it seemed like a good place for me to drive when I was so unfamiliar with the vehicle. I would kill or damage anything if I had a hiccup while maneuvering the truck. Turned out, I was very fucking wrong about that assumption.
Chapter 2. Stone. I pulled my horse to a stop as I approached the border between my property and that of Lock Creek Ranch. My eyes panned over the open land, and I mentally nodded in satisfaction. I'd struck a bargain with James, the owner of Lock Creek, to rent out this part of his ranch for my cattle to graze. My herd was bigger this year because we'd ended up with more pregnant cows than expected, and lost very few calves. An old small pickup truck rattled its way into my view as it sputtered and jerked over the far hill. I watched it as it came closer, veering off the path and heading straight for the barbed wire fence separating it from me. I expected it to turn any time, but it barreled forward, and when I realized it wasn't going to stop, I shouted a warning and got the fuck out of the way. My horse Pandora shrieked and reared up at the noise as the truck crashed into the thick wooden fence post, finally coming to a stop. The front had crunched in, and smoke billowed from under the hood. I hopped down from Pandora's back and left her a couple of yards away. She was well trained, and I knew she would stay where I left her. My temper flared as I assessed the damage to the fence, but I pushed it aside as I ran over to the smashed vehicle, worried about the condition of the driver. As I neared it, I heard a string of curses coming from the cab and a loud banging. That's when I realized whoever it was stuck, the door obviously jammed. At least their profanity and irate voice gave me the impression they weren't too badly hurt. "You all right?" I called, as I reached the side of the crash.
Yeah, but the stupid door is stuck."
Now that I was close, it was clear the driver was a woman. Her voice had an unexpected and unwanted effect on my body. The sound went straight to my cock, and he immediately jumped to attention, straining toward the owner of that voice. I tried to shake it off and focus on the situation, but adjusted myself quickly to make sure my reaction wasn't noticeable. "Have you tried the passenger door?" I asked as I eyed the damage to the driver's side. I didn't think I'd be able to pry the twisted metal away from the frame. There was a moment of silence, and I wondered if she was more injured than I realized. "Ma'am?" I heard a heavy sigh and the sound of fabric tearing.
"For Pete's sake," she muttered.
There was a lot more mumbling under her breath before I heard the creak of the opposite door. I'd already started around the truck bed and stopped short at the sight of long, long legs encased in skin-tight jeans scooting out the door. They were followed by a small waist, flat stomach, average-sized but mouth-watering tits, and a head surrounded by a mess of wavy blonde hair. Her elegant manicured hands pushed the pale hair back from her face as she huffed in noticeable frustration. She was fucking gorgeous. An oval face, plush lips, high cheekbones, and big blue eyes. Her scowl did nothing to deter from her beauty. In fact, it looked fucking cute. I'd already noticed the soft hands, but now I took in the expensive cut of her hair, her obviously designer jeans, boots that looked brand new, and the diamond studs in her ears. What the fuck was a woman like that doing out here,
and driving that piece of shit truck. She noticed me right then, and a pretty blush bloomed on her cheeks.
"Please, don't call me ma'am," she asked politely with a humorless laugh.
Her blue eyes widened as they scanned over my face and body, and when she realized I was well aware of her ogling, her blush deepened.
I apologize for almost killing you.
She trailed off, realizing she didn't know my name. Stone Kensington, I stated, keeping my tone even to disguise the fact that I was having a difficult time reining in my desire for her. I expected the pampered look of her to turn me off, but apparently, my dick didn't give a fuck that this woman didn't belong anywhere near a ranch. I raised a single black brow and asked, "You are?"
Oh, Helena Justice. I'm Leah's best friend from Austin.
"Well, Helena from Austin," I drawled. "Care to explain why you just about killed yourself and smashed my fence in the process?"
"I borrowed the truck to get away from... Well, anyway, I borrowed it. But I was in a hurry and haven't driven stick shift since I was a teenager. The clutch is really loose, and I lost control, and..."
She rambled on until I finally cut her off. "Don't worry about it. I'll take the issue up with James." She shook her head.
No. This was my mess. I'll handle it."
"You're gonna fix the fence?" I deadpanned. She looked panicked for a moment, then hopeful.
"I will, if you'll teach me how."
I heaved a sigh and walked over the dented open truck door. I don't have time to help a pampered city girl to play rancher. Reaching in, I made sure the vehicle was off before taking the keys from the ignition. When I stood back up and turned around, I was taken aback by the defiant gleam in her eyes.
"Fine, I'll find someone else to help me. Could you at least lend me your cell phone so I can call someone to come get me?"
With a sweeping motion of my hand, I gestured for her to head over to my horse. "I'll take you there. James and I have some business anyway." She looked dubious, but started toward Pandora.
"Really? I can call someone?"
"Phones don't work out here, city girl."
"I don't like that any better than ma'am," she complained tartly.
Since she was ahead of me, she didn't see the grin plastered on my face. I had a feeling I was going to enjoy getting Miss Prim and Proper riled up. The smile dropped from my face, and I reminded myself that I wouldn't be around her enough to do any such thing. She would probably be heading back to her city life soon anyway. Once we reached my horse, I helped her up into the saddle, then swung up behind her. I leaned forward to grab the reins, and it plastered her back to my chest and her ass to my groin. I held in a groan at the feel, and the scent of honeysuckle surrounded me. I had no doubt she could feel the ridge of my stiff cock cushioned against her round ass. Instead of pulling away like I'd expected, she practically melted back into me. "Fuck, fuck, fuck," I chanted silently. I did not need this shit right now. However, I allowed myself to enjoy the ride back to the Lock Creek main house. With her bouncing against me, I was about ready to explode by the time we arrived. I brought Pandora to a stop when we reached the back of their large barn. Helena twisted to look back at me in question. Her blue eyes were a little foggy with lust, and this time, I didn't suppress my groan. Gripping her hips, I lifted her up and helped her turn so she was straddling my thighs. "This is the last and only time this will happen, city girl, but I have to taste you." She didn't protest. She leaned in eagerly as I covered her mouth with mine. It was near nirvana. And though I could barely think beyond kissing her, one thought raced repeatedly through my head. "You are so fucking screwed, Kensington." Chapter 3. Stone. My hands dove into Helena's silky locks, cradling her skull so I could angle her head the way I wanted it. She tasted like peppermint, and something spicy that I instinctively knew was unique to her. "Fuck, you taste even better than I thought you would," I growled against her lips. My dick was straining toward the heat radiating from between Helena's thighs, and I barely checked myself before thrusting my hips up to make contact. Her tits were pillowed against my chest, her arms locked around my neck, and she was given as good as she got. It was hot as fuck, and I wasn't sure if I had the strength to pull away. I briefly considered dragging her into the barn and finding a secluded corner to fuck her. But a shred of my sanity remained, and it reminded me that getting involved with this woman would be a complete clusterfuck. I didn't do short-term or flings, and there was no way this delicate China doll would be staying out here. Not to mention that it could cause problems in my relationship with James and Leah. I'd heard Leah talk about Helena a few times. They were like sisters, and if shit blew up between us, I knew whose side she would come down on. And since James worshipped the ground she walked on, he'd be right there next to her. I expected these thoughts to cool my ardor, but she tasted and felt so fucking good. After indulging for a few more minutes, I sighed and reluctantly retreated from her lips. Helena's skin was flushed pink, her lips swollen, and her blue eyes were cloudy with passion. But her expression was a mixture of desire and complete shock. I supposed it was because I'd given in and kissed her after being so gruff. But I wouldn't have expected the level of her incredulity from just that. When she didn't speak for a whole minute, I decided it was time to end this, whatever it was. Grasping her small waist, I tried to ignore the way my skin heated wherever we touched as I flipped her back around so she was facing forward. With a gentle nudge of my heels, Pandora cantered toward the main house. "Wait." Helena's soft voice had me pressing my thighs to bring Pandora to a stop. I waited, and after a few beats, she angled her torso so she could look back and up at me. "Just drop me over there." She pointed toward a gate several yards away, leading to a gravel road that went all the way to the back of the property. "I'll walk the rest of the way." I glanced at the path, then the main house, before frowning down at her. Why would she want me to let her off over there when she was just going to walk back in this direction? My brow furrowed deeper when I considered that she might not want anyone to see her riding with me. My brain told me that was smart. Best to keep this to ourselves so people didn't gossip or assume. However, my emotions overrode my sense, and I was offended she was averse to being seen with me. "What happened is between us and will stay that way, so there's no reason for me to leave you so far from the house and let you walk all the way back." Helena's eyebrows rose, and she stared at me for a moment before a knowing glint entered her blue eyes. "It's not that," she assured me softly. "I'm staying at Garrison's house, so it'll be a shorter walk from over there." Jealousy whipped through me like a raging inferno, leaving my temper sizzling, and a lingering emotion that reminded me of how I felt whenever someone offered to buy my ranch. It was possession. "What the fuck are you doing living with Garrison?" I snarled before I could stop myself. Helena's eyes widened, and her mouth dropped open, tempting me to slide my tongue inside. Son of a bitch, I had to get a hold of myself. I dropped my head back and took a deep breath, trying to calm my racing heart and furious emotions. When I felt less frenzied, I met her gaze again and spoke in an even tone. "I just meant, I'm surprised Rose is okay with you living with her fiancé."
"Oh,"
she dragged out the vowel, then shook her head.
"No, Garrison lives with Rose over at Red Hill."
She snorted with amusement before adding,
"It wouldn't matter how much Rose loves me. If Garrison was sleeping alone under the same roof as me, I'd be sleeping with one eye open and a knife under my pillow, because eventually, she'd come to kill me."
Relief flooded my veins.
"I'm staying at the manager's house until, well, for a while."
Her last words seemed uncertain, and I wondered why she was here and how long she was staying. Not that I really wanted to know, I told myself. It didn't matter how long she was here if she was leaving in the end, Even if she weren't, things would never work out between us. I needed a woman who was strong and sturdy. Someone who knew how to handle the hard working of running a ranch. Someone who wouldn't break. I barely refrained from smacking myself on the head for the direction of my thoughts. Since when was I considering any woman in my life? Much less one who would probably have a meltdown the first time she broke a nail. This war between my head and my body was beginning to give me a headache. I sighed and gently turned Helena back around, before settling her back against me once more. No reason for you to make that long walk, I explained as I urged Pandora forward. It was at least a 20-minute ride at a steady canter. Clearly she was used to the crowded city, and didn't realize how long of a walk it would be. I'll take you home. Helena started to speak, probably to object, but she remained quiet when I lowered my lips to her ear and whispered, Let me enjoy having your sexy body pressed into mine for a little longer, baby. I can't fuck you like I want, so give me this. I waited for her to stiffen or yell at me, or display her anger at my dirty words in any way. While they were true, I'd really only said them to rile her up, hoping it would push her away. The plan backfired fucking spectacularly. Helena shivered, then scooted back as far as she could, plastering her back to my front before melting into me. Yep. So fucking screwed.
Chapter 4. Helena. I can't fuck you like I want. First, I was shocked at the thing Stone made me feel when he kissed me. I'd never felt anything like it. Now I was just as surprised to find out that, apparently, dirty talk got me hot. My bones practically turned into jelly as fire raced through my veins. If this was how Leah and James reacted to each other, I understood why they couldn't keep their hands off each other. And Stone was so much sexier than James. When I'd climbed out of that truck and gotten a good look at him, all I could think was, save a horse, ride a rancher. He had to be a few inches over 6 feet. His black hair was cut short, and it emphasized the sharp angles of his face, the chiseled jaw, and brown eyes like melted chocolate. My eyes had pursued him from head to toe, and from what I could tell through his clothes, his body looked to be ripped. Muscular without too much bulk. Think Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, I was instantly tingling in places I'd never felt any kind of spark at all. When I'd looked up at him and saw that he'd caught me practically drooling over him, I wanted a hole to open up in the ground and swallow me. Until I realized he'd been giving me the exact same treatment. His incredible body and filthy mouth had me instinctively scooting back, plastering myself against him. He'd been hard since the moment we'd taken off on his horse, and when I wiggled, he groaned low and deep. I can't fuck you like I want. Why not? I asked breathlessly.
Pardon?
His voice sounded gravelly and tight, as though he was speaking through a clenched jaw. Why can't you fuck me? Stone cursed, and a minute later, I found myself once again straddling him, face to face. He put one hand on the back of my head and the other at my waist, then slammed his lips down on mine. While his mouth devoured me, the hand at my waist slid to my ass and jerked me forward so my pussy was pressed against his cock. From what I could feel, his very hard, very big cock. After several minutes, he pulled back and rested his forehead against mine while we both panted and waited for our racing hearts to calm down.
Because I don't do flings, city girl.
My mouth turned down at the annoying nickname. He said it with a tinge of derision that pissed me off.
And that's exactly what this would be, he continued. Eventually, you'll get bored with playing rancher and go back to your fast-paced, lavish life. so I'm ending this before it even begins. I wanted to argue with him, but what could I really say at the moment? Not only was he right about my wanting nothing but a fling, I had no idea where my life would lead me in the next few months. Austin and my old job were definitely out. However, I couldn't see how there was a place for me around here. I didn't have any skills that would make me an asset to the ranch. Unless they needed an excellent lawyer, which I was certain wouldn't justify settling down here at Lock Creek. Stone must have taken my silence for agreement because he nodded firmly and then flipped me around as though I was weightless. His tendency to put me where he wanted me was kind of hot. I rolled my eyes. That was definitely the wrong direction for my thoughts to be traveling. He settled me against him, but not like before. There was a physical and metaphorical distance between us. The ride back to my place was silent, and as time ticked by, I realized how stupid it had been to consider walking all the way there. It wasn't that I couldn't handle it physically. I was in great shape. But it would be getting dark soon, and there was a high probability I would have gotten lost despite the gravel road leading all the way back to my house. And there were fucking coyotes around here. I shivered at the thought of being their dinner. Stone obviously misunderstood my reaction because he wrapped himself tighter around me and dropped his head, his lips a breath away from my ear.
"Cold?"
he asked softly. I was so focused on how good it felt to be pressed against him again that all I could do was nod. I didn't dare tell him I was burning up for fear he might push me away again. To my dismay, it wasn't long before my house came into view. I felt Stone take a deep breath as his chest moved against my back. Then he blew it out. I wasn't sure if it was relief or frustration at the ride being over. I hoped it was the latter. Stone dismounted quickly, then grasped my waist and lifted me off the beautiful black horse we'd been riding on. Once my feet hit the ground, his hands lingered for a few heartbeats before he dropped them to his sides and stepped back. His heated brown eyes were glued to my lips, and I could see he was at war with himself. I recognized it because it was the same battle going on in my own head. To my disappointment, he pressed his lips together in a flat line and took another step back. Then he forced the corners up into a tight smile and tipped his cowboy hat at me.
"Have a good evening, ma'am."
I rolled my eyes and wrinkled my nose in annoyance, which he seemed to find quite funny, because he was chuckling as he turned back to his horse and swung himself up into the saddle. Why was that so freaking sexy?
"Get your pretty little ass in there, baby,"
he instructed, his tone commanding.
"I won't be able to leave until I know you're safe inside the house."
I was sorely tempted to tell him I would stay outside all night if he stayed with me. Instead, I rolled my eyes and gave him an arch look. "You do know I'm a grown-ass woman, right?" Then I spun around and marched to the front door without a backward glance. I added a little extra swing to my hips, and Stone groaned and then muttered something unintelligible. It made me smile as I turned the knob and pushed open the unlocked door. Before I could step inside, I heard a curse and then the crunching sound of boots stomping on the gravel coming toward me. The next thing I knew, big hands were grasping my hips and lifting me off the ground, placing me back down a few feet from the entrance. Stone glared at me and growled,
"You left your fucking door unlocked?"
I shrugged and cocked my head to the side. I figured it wasn't a big deal out here. His frown turned fierce, and his brows dropped low over his eyes.
"You think just because this is the country, there aren't fuckers who would prey on a woman all alone out here?"
He stepped into my space, coming toe to toe and bending so his face was a breath away from mine.
"This isn't the city where the cops can be here in minutes, Helena. There's no one to hear you fucking scream."
By the time he finished, he was vibrating with anger. Then he disappeared into the house.
I probably should have been focused on the fear he was trying to instill, and if I'd really been paying attention, I would have noticed the panic lurking behind the fury. Instead, my own anger came bubbling to the surface. I hadn't thought about it that way, and now that he'd pointed it out, I wouldn't be able to stop thinking about it. He'd ruined my secluded little getaway. When he stepped back outside, he was carrying my small travel bag, but I barely noticed. I shoved my hands onto my hips and glared at him. "You could have just asked me to lock the door from now on," I snapped. "No, you had to freak me out with a worst-case scenario, and now I won't be able to stay here by myself." My voice had quickly escalated to shouting, and when I saw the glint of satisfaction in his eyes, I gasped and shoved my hands into his chest. He didn't even move an inch. I growled in frustration, and the corners of his eyes crinkled when he couldn't suppress his smirk. "Wipe that arrogant look off your face, jackass." "I guess you'll just have to stay with James and Leah," he drawled as he secured the bag to the back of his horse. His smug tone made me want to smack him, but then I remembered his reaction when he thought I'd been living with Garrison, and it gave me a better idea. "I'm not going to inconvenience them like that," I shrugged nonchalantly. "I'll just stay in the bunkhouse." I wouldn't actually do it, but my statement succeeded in eliciting the response I'd been going for. Stone grabbed my shoulders and dragged me right up against him. His face was hard. His eyes were churning with dark emotions, and I began to wonder if I'd pushed him too far.
Chapter 5. Stone. My body was rigid with tension as jealousy and possession roared to life again. "Over my dead fucking body," I snarled. The thought of her sleeping in the bunkhouse with all those horny young ranch hands was enough to blow my temper. But when I thought about her doing so in pajamas, it made me feel homicidal. It wouldn't matter if she were bundled up in flannel from neck to toe. I didn't like the idea of anyone seeing her like that but me. I sighed at the truth I could no longer ignore. The first time my brain told me I was screwed, I managed to ignore it. But every time it floated through my mind, it was harder and harder to brush off. Then I tried to walk away, and I was so close, until I felt the overwhelming fear that something could happen to her. And when the caveman inside me flipped his shit over other men being around her, I had to start accepting it. Helena's sass captivated me. Her outward beauty entranced me. And I didn't know how or why, but something inside me knew that her beauty wasn't skin deep. My heart knew what my head hadn't accepted. This woman, who seemed all wrong for me, who would likely take a lot of convincing to stay, this gorgeous, smart, sexy creature, was mine. I mentally shrugged. I wasn't going to fight what I felt so deep in my bones. Yes, she was mine. End of story. Once I'd settled on that decision, the tension in my gut uncoiled. A weight lifted off of my shoulders, and a rush of blood surged to my cock. Accepting that Helena was mine meant I'd be able to take her like I wanted, and my body was practically throwing a ticker tape parade. At the moment, though, she was practically shooting daggers at me with her ocean blue eyes. She looked almost as magnificent riled up as she did when she was flushed and dazed with passion. I couldn't wait to see her laid out on my bed with her hair spread around her like a halo and her skin pink with desire. I couldn't wait to sink inside her and feel her cum around my cock. That thought led to how it would feel to take her bare, which then put the image in my head of Helena with a sweetly rounded belly. Fuck. Somehow in the space of a few hours, I'd gone from having no time for anything but ranching to planning my future with Helena. I expected at least a part of my brain to reject the idea of love at first. Okay, maybe second, sight. To my surprise, there was nothing other than peace and contentment at the thought. For a moment, I considered whether I might have grown a vagina
considering how fucking sappy I was being. But the steel pipe between my thighs proved otherwise.
This has nothing to do with you, Stone Kensington, she snapped. It's not like I need to worry about someone overhearing you make me scream.
Her tone was haughty, but her expression was wary. I almost smiled. She was obviously worried about my reaction, and I decided to take advantage of the situation. That's where you were wrong, baby. Without warning, I swung her up into my arms and stalked back over to Pandora. Once Helena was seated, I jogged back over to the house, locked the door, and shut it. Then I returned to my girls and swung up into the saddle.
What do you?
Helena gasped when I slipped my arm around her middle and blatantly dragged her back against me, fitting her ass snugly up against my rock-hard cock. Before Helena could speak up again, I urged Pandora into a full gallop and headed straight for my land. Helena's hands gripped my arm that was banded around her waist. I glanced down at her upturned face to make sure she wasn't terrified, but found her smiling widely, her eyes bright as she took in the scenery. When Pandora jumped the fence between our properties, Helena laughed joyfully, making a smile steal across my face. Once we were about halfway across my ranch, I slowed Pandora to a leisurely canter. Helena twisted her head and dropped it back so she could look up at me.
Where are we going? She asked with a frown.
Home, I replied.
But the bunkhouse?
I swear, Helena, if you mention that fucking bunkhouse one more time, I'm going to spank your ass.
Helena whipped her head around to glare at me. You wouldn't dare.
Her blue eyes sparked with indignation, but I didn't miss the telltale way her body shivered. You keep pushing me. You're going to find out, I warned, giving her a light squeeze with the arm around her middle. Helena started to say something, probably something smart, which should piss me off, but just made me want to fuck her. But we were cresting a hill, and in a few seconds, my house came into view. Helena gasped and leaned forward, distracted from our banter.
Is that your house? She asked, her voice infused with awe, as she gazed at the 5,000-square-foot mountain modern home. It was timber frame and construction with old-world detailing. We were approaching from the back of the house, showing off the floor-to-ceiling windows making up the exterior wall of the living room.
It's amazing.
Pride filled my chest, along with pleasure at knowing Helena liked her new home. Welcome to Rebel K Ranch.
K as in Kensington? She inquired.
I nodded.
And Rebel?
I shrugged, reluctant to get into the shit that inspired the name of my ranch. Then I thought better of it. This wouldn't work if I wasn't open with her. My family can be demanding. I paused, considering how best to describe the situation. My parents are very wealthy, and they run in the elite high society circles in Austin. Helena gasped and looked up at me with incredulity.
Austin? You were raised there?
Yes, but... She cut me off with a scowl.
And you've been giving me crap about being from the city?
I placed my hand over her mouth before she could go off on a tirade. Just listen, all right? Her blue eyes sparked with defiance, and I gave her a pointed look. Option two is that you don't get to hear the story, and I find a much more enjoyable way to shut your mouth. Helena muttered something I couldn't understand with my hand over her mouth. She seemed to be weighing her options. When she nodded, I uncovered her mouth. She frowned at me for a few moments, then turned around and settled easily back against me. Since she couldn't see my expression, I didn't suppress the grin that emerged at the way she had begun to naturally lean into me. Anyway, when I was around 12, my parents went out of town for the summer, and I spent it with my friend, Austin, on his family's cattle ranch. I was bit by the bug and wanted to learn everything. I smiled and shook my head at the memory. I worked my ass off that summer. Then I asked to spend every summer and school break out there. My parents were happy that they could jet set without worrying about my care, and Alston's family appreciated having me there to help. I glanced at Helena and was intrigued to see a knowing glint in her eyes. She nodded, as though she completely understood the situation. It was something I'd dig into later. When I graduated high school, my parents pushed hard for me to go to medical school. I was accepted to some of the best schools in the country, but I wanted to study ranch management. Finally, I agreed to go to medical school if it was to study veterinary medicine. I blew out a breath and rolled my eyes. That went over like a stone in a well. But I stuck to my guns and followed my own path. I moved out and found a crappy apartment near the campus of a community college that offered an associate's in ranch management. JP, my friend's dad, helped me get a position at a nearby ranch, so I was basically able to do my internship congruent with my degree. I lived as cheaply as possible while I scrimped and saved, and managed to go on and get my bachelor's in agriculture, and then an MBA in finance. We were getting nearer to the house, so I hurried through the rest of the story. After my education was done, JP offered me the position of ranch manager. Alston had no desire to work on the ranch. I laughed. He'd actually followed the path my parents had wanted for me. He became a surgeon. The next part of the story still caused an ache in my heart. A year later, Alston was killed trying to shield a patient from a maniac who'd pulled out a gun in the emergency room because they wouldn't let him see the girlfriend he'd put there in the first place.
Oh, Stone, Helena sighed. I'm so sorry.
She used the palm of her hand on my chin to turn my head so we were face to face. Her expression was sympathetic, her eyes filled with genuine anguish for my pain. My heart softened, and I placed a kiss on her forehead, then murmured, "Thanks, baby." Alston's mom had died a few years before, and he was an only child. JP decided to move on from this life. He offered to sell me the ranch, but my savings was nowhere near enough. Then he offered to give it to me outright, but no way in hell was I going to let him do that. So he asked me to run it in his absence, and hopefully I'd be able to buy it eventually. Pride filled me as my eyes scanned over the land.
"Your friend's ranch was Rebel K?" Helena asked in surprise.
I nodded and continued. "It was called Lady Bell Ranch back then. But yeah, I made some changes, and all of my studying and experience paid off. The ranch became incredibly successful and gained a reputation for our beef. I had saved enough for a down payment, so I got a loan and bought the ranch from JP. I named it Rebel K because it was my own little way of reminding myself that this place was mine, because I'd rebelled against my upbringing and followed my own path. I found my slice of heaven and had worked to make it mine." I smiled ruefully and shook my head before telling her the next part. I wanted to do it all on my own, but JP had the last laugh. Not 6 months after I bought the ranch, I received a letter in the mail. The mortgage had been paid off, and the envelope contained the deed. Helena chuckled, and when I glanced at her, I was lost for a moment in the beauty of her smile.
"Sneaky."
My head bobbed in agreement, and I smiled down at her. We'd reached my stables, and Sawyer, the stable manager, lifted a hand, questioning whether I needed help. They knew I usually dealt with Pandora on my own, but offered anyway. Since I had Helena with me, I gave him a chin lift, accepting his assistance. Sawyer jogged over, and the first thing he did was reach for Helena. An involuntary growl bubbled to the surface as I narrowed my eyes and shook my head. He raised a brow, but didn't say anything, as she stepped back to give me room to dismount. Once my feet were steady on the ground, I started to grasp Helena's waist. She slapped my hands away and huffed.
"I'm not helpless, Stone. I can get off a horse by myself."
I ignored her and wrapped my hands around her. "I'm sure you can, baby. But I like having you in my arms," I explained with a wink as I helped her off, and then swept her up in my arms and held her close to my body. Sawyer had detached Helena's bag from Pandora, and he handed it to me. I gave him a nod and mumbled, "Thanks." Then I stalked toward the house,
I glanced down to see Helena watching me dubiously. I kept walking and waited for her to voice whatever thought was churning in her head.
I'm confused. First you seem like I am an annoying inconvenience. Then you kiss me like you just couldn't help yourself, but tell me it's a one-time thing. Then you attempt to get rid of me at my house before kissing me again and taking me back to your house.
She narrowed her eyes.
Do you suffer from a split personality? Because if so, you need to tell your doctor that the meds aren't working.
I threw my head back and laughed harder than I had in, I couldn't remember the last time. When I caught my breath and returned my eyes to her face, she was staring at me with wide eyes, her mouth forming a little O.
Your laugh is beautiful, she said breathlessly.
My lips tipped down in a frown as I grimaced. Beautiful. Baby, you could do a lot of damage to a man's ego by describing any part of him as beautiful.
Even his cock?
Shocked, my feet stumbled, and I sputtered, unsure how to respond. Hearing her say something like that was hot as hell, and it made me imagine other, filthier things coming out of her sexy mouth. My dick certainly knew what he wanted, though, because he began to lengthen and swell. I'd been half hard from having her body pressed up against me, but now my gait was a little off from the steel bat between my legs. Yeah, I muttered absently. Probably should stick with more masculine adjectives. Helena's cheeks heated, and she chuckled nervously. It made me wonder if she'd ever said anything so crude before, or engaged in dirty talk. If not, I was definitely going to be the one to introduce her to it. She shifted, then froze, when her ass brushed over the top of my hardness.
Doesn't seem like your dick minds being referred to as beautiful, she teased with a snort of laughter.
It was adorable, and amazingly, I stiffened further. Shit, I wasn't going to be able to walk if it kept going. Baby, my cock doesn't give a fuck what word you use. He's just happy to have your attention. I locked eyes with her and didn't shutter them at all, letting her see the naked hunger burning in them. And looking forward to becoming better acquainted with you. Instead of just her cheeks, her entire face flushed pink, and she glanced away, seeming uncomfortable with the intensity radiating from me.
That's awfully presumptuous, she said quietly.
Her words were admonishing, but her tone lacked conviction. When she brought her gaze back to me, her eyes were heated. I bit the inside of my cheek to keep from smirking and just nodded. I stopped at the door on the side of the house that opened into a mudroom. After unlocking it, I gestured for her to enter first, then followed her inside while enjoying the sight of her ass in those skin-tight designer jeans. I hung her bag on one of the coat hooks before lowering onto a bench and removing my boots. Helena hesitated, but after a moment, she sat next to me and did the same. Once my boots and socks were discarded, I stood and took her hand, tugging her up onto her feet. I swept her into my arms again before grabbing her bag and slinging it over my shoulder. She protested, but I gave her a squeeze and said, "Told you, like holding you. Get used to it."
"You say that like I'm going to be around long enough for you to..."
"Welcome to your new home," I interrupted as I entered the large kitchen used to feed those who lived and worked on the ranch. There was a smaller private one through another door. I'd never been opposed to settling down and having a family, but I'd been so focused on making Rebel K a success that I'd never given it much thought. When the designer showed me the plans, I barely noticed the extra kitchen set up. Now I made a mental note to send the guy an expensive bottle of scotch. Helena stuttered and pushed at my shoulders, but I refused to budge and continued on into the living room.
"Are you crazy? I can't live here with you."
I didn't bother with a reply. She'd figure out soon enough. I wasn't going to budge on that either.
Chapter 6 Helena. I was torn between gawking in awe at Stone's house and fighting the Neanderthal about his ludicrous plan. It wasn't until he entered a large bedroom, tossed my bag on the bed, and kept walking across the space that I decided to focus on the ladder. I'd ogle the gorgeous room later. Stone, this is crazy. I don't know you, and frankly, I'm not sure I even like you. I stopped when he shocked me by laughing. It was a rich, sexy sound, and it made my skin sizzle and drenched my underwear. You don't like me either, I stammered, trying to get my brain back on track.
Trust me, baby, Stone practically purred, officially ruining my panties. I like you just fine.
The way he said, fine, felt as though it held a wealth of innuendo.
And if you were being honest with yourself, you'd admit you feel the same way about me.
I huffed and folded my arms over my chest, which made Stone's eyes dart to my breasts. His already heated gaze turned hungry, and his tongue glided along his bottom lip. It was unbelievably sexy, and I suppressed a groan. But when he lifted his head and met my stare, it seemed like he knew exactly what I was feeling.
You are so damn beautiful,
he whispered, as he dropped my legs and let me slide down his body. Damn, his body was hard and sculpted. I gasped when I once again made contact with the very large, stiff bulge in his jeans. He was staring intensely at me, and it was causing a burn in my belly and below. It was overwhelming, and I had to look away so I could suck in a deep breath. That's when I noticed we were in a spacious marble and wood bathroom. What? I trailed off as I looked around, forgetting about my question when I spied the spectacular sunken bathtub on the far wall. It was deep and wide, perfect for soaking with a glass of wine and a good book.
I'm dirty from working out on the ranch today. I need to clean up.
Stone's words drew my attention back to him. I'd almost forgotten he was there. Okay, I'll just wait in the living room. I started to walk away, but found myself being spun around when he grabbed my hand. Then he walked me backward until I was pressed up against the wall with his arms caging me in.
You're going to need a shower too, baby.
I'm not dirty, I protested vaguely. I was distracted by the sudden image of his wet, naked body. Was he implying he wanted me to stay here and watch him shower? The idea definitely wasn't unappealing, but it seemed like it would be awkward.
You will be when I'm done with you,
Stone responded in that low, panty-melting voice. I opened my mouth to ask what he was talking about, but didn't get a sound out before he sealed his lips over mine.
Holy fuck.
Stone had kissed me several times now, but something was different this time. Something threatening to consume me. It was overwhelming and like nothing I'd ever felt before. My first instinct was to run in the opposite direction, but Stone had me locked in place, not only with his mouth devouring mine, but his arms had me caged in, and his body was pressed into mine. The feel of his very hard, very, from the bulge I felt confident saying this, large erection digging into my belly caused a tingling between my legs. I moaned and placed my hands on his shoulders, just as my knees buckled. I didn't know how, but I knew Stone wouldn't have let me fall. Still, I held on tight. After a few more minutes of twisting tongues and low groans, Stone glided his lips down to place a soft kiss on my jaw. Then he ran his tongue along the bone until he reached my ear. He nibbled, lightly, making me shiver. Who knew the earlobe was an erogenous zone? Before burying his face in my neck.
his hands tangled in my hair, and he inhaled deeply.
"You smell so fucking good," he rumbled. "I bet you taste even better."
He bucked his hips, letting me know without words he wasn't talking about my mouth. My breath hitched as dampness flooded my panties. Stone's lips returned to mine, and his hands slid down to my shoulders before tracing my collarbones with his fingers. He stopped at the top button of my blouse, and what little remained of my sanity forced out a weak protest. "This is kind of fast," I mumbled against his mouth. "Maybe." He stopped the flow of words by kissing me deeply, his velvety tongue tangling with mine, and I barely noticed him popping open the buttons on my shirt until he was pushing it off my shoulders. He leisurely pulled back and dropped his gaze to my breasts. My heart was racing, and my breath was coming out in harsh pants, making them bounce up and down. The hunger I'd glimpsed before intensified as he watched them. Then he licked his lips, and the tingle I'd felt exploded into a desperate ache. What would it feel like to have that tongue all over me? Inside me? I moaned at the thought, and it drew Stone's attention. A slow smile stretched across his face, and the glimmer in his eyes made me think he knew what was going on in my head. With his index finger, he traced the top of my bra on one side, then he dipped it below the fabric and dragged it down. The pad of his finger whispered over the tip of my nipple, and it instantly hardened. I sucked in a breath to keep from whimpering, and his eyes lifted to mine, flashing with a determined glint.
"Don't hold back with me, Helena," he commanded. "I want to hear your sounds of pleasure, to hear what I do to you."
He bent his head. His soft hair brushed against my sensitive skin, and when the heat of his mouth enveloped the tight bud, I cried out and arched my back. Stone released my nipple with a pop and brought his face up and close to mine.
"Good girl. Every moan, every whimper, every scream. They belong to me, baby. Only me. And I want what's mine."
Fire burst in my core and spread throughout my body at his caveman display. I probably should have been offended or angry or whatever. Instead, his dominant attitude was taking my arousal to a whole new level. It was hot as fucking hell, and the flames had burned my feminist membership card to cinders. I wasn't sure if I wanted to run from the cacophony of emotion or jump his fucking bones. He made the decision for me when he yanked down my other bra cup and latched onto my nipple. One hand came to rest on my hip, while the other unsnapped my jeans and dove inside to cup my pussy. A deep, low groan rumbled from his chest. He released my nipple and rested his forehead in the valley between my breasts.
"Fuck," he rasped. "You are so damn wet."
I was glad he wasn't looking at my face because I felt my cheeks heat in embarrassment.
"All for me. You have no idea how much that turns me on."
I forgot all about being embarrassed as he licked a path up my chest and buried his face in my neck. Then he dipped a finger between my lips and pushed the tip inside me, making me suck in a fast breath and clench around the digit. He practically purred.
"I can't wait to feel you gripping my cock."
He pumped his finger a few times and lifted his head to stare into my eyes.
"I'm going to slide so easily into your soaked pussy, baby. But I'm a big guy, so I need to get you ready to take me."
Keeping our gazes locked, he withdrew his hand from my pants and sucked his finger clean. His eyes closed, and he moaned as though it was the most delicious thing he'd ever tasted. I was right. You taste incredible. Without warning, he dropped to his knees, tugging my jeans and underwear with him. My legs were trapped and couldn't open far, but he leaned in and slowly licked up my center. The world tilted on its axis, and my hands, which had been clenched at my sides, plunged into his hair, holding him as much for balance as to keep him from stopping what he was doing. I barely noticed when he lifted each foot to remove my pants and toss them aside. He put gentle pressure on my thighs to guide me into a wider stance, and his eyes devoured me. Fuck, baby. Your pussy is so pretty and pink. You're dripping. So ready for me, aren't you? I mumbled something unintelligible, not really able to form coherent thoughts. I'm going to fuck you with my tongue before I bury myself 10 inches deep and have you bouncing on my cock. I never would have guessed I would be turned on by such crude, dirty talk. But holy shit. I felt as though I was on the verge of coming just from the filthy things coming out of his mouth. I looked down at Stone and watched as he used his thumbs to part my folds, his tongue coming out to wet his lips. I knew it. He turned his head to the right and placed a kiss on my inner thigh before doing the same to the other. Then he nibbled his way up to my pussy and licked from bottom to top. You like getting dirty. I'm so hungry seeing how fucking wet you get when I talk like this. Before I could react to his observation, he covered my sex with his mouth and sucked hard. Oh, I shouted as streaks of ecstasy shot from my pussy to every nerve in my body. Then he circled my clit with his tongue before shoving it inside me. Holy shit! Oh, fuck, don't stop, yes! He repeated the process over and over, never touching my clit and driving me mad with need and lust. Please, Stone, I begged. My legs were shaking, and my body was strung so tight I could barely breathe. What do you want, baby? Stone murmured. This? He passed his tongue over the little bud just once, and my knees buckled. But he was gripping my thighs, and when I lost my balance, he threw both of my legs over his shoulders. My back pressed into the wall, and he held my ass in his hands, lifting me to his mouth. I got you, baby, he reassured me gruffly. Now tell me what you want. My legs tightened around his head, and my hands fisted his silky black hair as I moaned, Please, make me come. Stone gave my clit a small suck, then backed off, making me cry out in frustration. Say you're mine, Helena, he demanded suddenly. Say you're mine, and I'll give you all the orgasms you could ever want. Otherwise, I'm going to stop right now. I was practically delirious, my hips bucking, trying to reach his mouth, and the intense pleasure it could bring me. Please. Say it, Helena. His tone was firm, and when I managed to open my eyes, he was staring at me with such conviction that I knew he would follow through on his threat. Since I couldn't imagine anyone else making me feel like this, I knew a part of me would always belong to Stone. Besides, he was going to be my first, and that meant giving something of myself to him. So yeah, right then, I was his. And for however long it took him to get tired of the city girl, the shiny new toy he was playing with. I'm yours, I breathed. Damn fucking straight, you're mine, he growled, before he latched onto my clit and slid one of his big hands around so he could sink one long finger into my pussy hole. My body jolted
and I screamed as wave after wave of ecstasy crashed over me. Stone continued to fingerfuck me and bite, lick, and suck my clit until I stopped shaking, and he seemed to sense that the orgasm was winding down. He changed to soft licks, cleaning up the arousal that had gushed from me as I came. After another couple of minutes, he lifted his head from my center and licked his lips with a small groan. Then he helped me back to my feet and stood, keeping steady hands on my waist.
"See,"
he said with a smirk, "I had to clean you after getting you so dirty." I had no response. My brain felt like mush. The only thing I noticed was that despite the most powerful orgasm I'd ever experienced, I still felt empty, and my core practically ached.
And we're back.
Hi.
L. Christensen is giving away a signed, a couple of signed paperbacks. The first two books in the Ranchers Only series, she's giving away signed copies of those. So head over to readmeromance.com. On the homepage, you'll find the giveaway. And you can enter to win. Let's see what else is out. Tomorrow, The Kingmaker by Kennedy Ryan is out today. We're highly anticipated.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. I love it. It's like, what is it? All the King's Horses and the Kingmaker or whatever.
Yeah, and it's going like,
to be like. I kept thinking, is this the Humpty Dumpty romance? Like, because of the way it was set up. And I was like, I love this shit. That's so cool.
I love the covers are breathtaking.
They're so beautiful. And she's so amazing.
She's amazing. Okay, so Rough Sketch by Kate Canterbury is out tomorrow. You can pre-order it now and get it by tonight. Rough Sketch was featured on the podcast, so now the ebook will be available. Mm-hmm. Tangled Up in Christmas.
And Kate Canterbury is a delight.
Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah. And what's that? What was the other Christmas book?
Tangled Up in Christmas by Lisa Renee Jones is out tomorrow. So yes. Pre-order it now. Get it tonight. I'll have all the links in the episode description. So click, click, click. And yeah. Does anybody else? Oh, I have some stuff out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's mention your new audiobook.
Okay, actually, the whole Made in Jersey series is in audio. I just realized this morning. Somebody was like, oh, they're all out. And I was like, oh.
That must have just happened the other day. Because when I was searching the other day, I only seen that one.
Is it through your publisher?
Yeah, Entangled Publishing. Crashed Out, okay. Thrown Down, Wound Tight, and Worked Up. All four of the Made in...
Well, that's great. All those my pictures I made are ruined.
Sorry.
No, right? Yay. You have to redo all those graphics.
So all four books in the Made in Jersey series are now in audio, and they're all narrated by Emma Wilder, who's fantastic. And Getaway Girl is in... Okay, so have you guys heard of this app called Chapters?
Yes.
So it's like an interactive app where you can like choose your own adventure.
Did Leah say no?
Wait, no.
We have books in it.
I know. I realized that after I said it, I was like, oh, no, I didn't know that one. I was thinking it was like you got like a chapter a week. That's what I was thinking when you said Chapters. I was like, that's not.
Yeah, you're thinking of a different app, but I don't know what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So Chapters is like an interactive kind of like cartoon game where you can like play a game based on your favorite romance novel. So anyways, Getaway Girl is now out in Chapters. It's like an app you can download. So I'll put the links for that down below too if you guys want to check it out. And that's it. We'll be back on Friday with more of Ride a Rancher by L. Christensen. So Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch and do not be a dick.
Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back.